It is fantastic to welcome into Static onto SER this evening. A bloke with a record out and done, Alex from Brightness. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Very excited to have you here. Very excited that it is the definitive article. It's Brightness, the album, this time around.
No nonsense.
The first album was called Teething. I thought maybe this one could have been called Crawling or something. You could have built up to it, but...
I did actually think about continuing that theme, but it seemed kind of contrived.
I don't know. By the time you get up to album number 10, you could have had Divorcing with Three Kids or something.
But it certainly was a fairly specific theme with this record that I thought would do well with a single word, a verb again, that encapsulates the whole thing. But it was too hard to resist the temptation just to go with the self-titled.
You get that out of the way as well. Now you've done that, unless you're making, like, Chicago, making Brightness 15.
Yeah. Weezer. Yeah. I like the definitiveness of it as well. It's kind of like, if this was the last record I ever made, I'd be happy to stand by it, you know.
Well, as well you should be. And it's a very differently made record, this Brightness album, because you got to take yourselves to the Catskills in America to make it, which was probably a great Kerouacian adventure for you, was it, Alex?
Waldo Emerson kind of adventure. It was a really ideal setup. Working with Sam, I mean, creates its own atmosphere, but let alone being in the actual Catskills by the Ashikan Reservoir. This beautiful, newly built studio. It was very tightly wound in with the themes of the record and the kind of imagery that I imagined for the record. It just happened to be that we were recording that classic upstate New York, lush, beautiful landscape.
And a big step up from Teething, from the first record as well, because that was self-recorded on a gifted reel-to-reel home.
I've never really been into the whole intentional lo-fi thing. And with the first record, I just wanted to do the best I could with the means that I had, and they happened to be really limited. And yeah, it was certainly wasn't some kind of cute thing that I wanted to keep doing. And being able to hand the reins over to Sam was one of the best parts of the whole process, because I just focus on the things that I'm quote unquote good at, whereas he's amazing at not only songwriting and performing, but recording and capturing a certain kind of natural, kind of fresh sounding record.
This producer is a guy called Sam Griffin Owens, who is an American and had produced things like Cass McCoon's records.
Yeah.
So you must have had a few fanboy questions for him when you first met up.
Yeah, he's played alongside him too. I actually came to know Sam through his own stuff as Sam Evian. He signed to Saddle Creek, and he has a lot of production credits under his name, but I kind of came forward to him as a fan of his stuff, and it wasn't actually until I'd already decided I want to work with them that I found out about the McCoom stuff, which is obviously a huge thing for me.
And after Sam has navigated working with someone like Cass as well, you're probably a walk in the park, you know? You're not the prickliest character he's ever had to produce.
Well, yeah. Well, I imagine Cass is probably similar in knowing exactly what he wants, and you either get it or you don't. And I think if I'd chosen to work with someone else who didn't get what I wanted, that could have taken twice as long as it took. But I feel like half the work was already over by the time I was actually in the studio with Sam, because his artistic sensibilities were so on point that he was just kind of like, we didn't really need to talk about it, and because I had much trust in him, you know.
I also saw some photos, and you had a good luck charm of PJ Harvey looking over the recordings as well.
Yeah.
So everything was in place. All the feng shui was right.
Yeah, well, that takes care of everything. I actually had her with me everywhere I went. In, like, say, when I was recording the vocals, recording the guitar upstairs, recording the drums, it was just this very important part of the process.
So the PJ Harvey photo was your rabbit foot, huh?
Definitely, yeah.
And Alex, was this record also written and then recorded out of a better space than the first one was? There's less angst and anxiousness about this Brightness album.
Definitely, yeah. It was written mainly when I was living with my brother up in Newcastle and his converted shed, and I got a lot of time to kind of reflect on things in general and my choices over the last decade, pretty much. Like, I was kind of reflecting on my 20s and in a lot of ways, but it's not really like a nostalgic record or a record that talks about my past much at all. But I made sure, and I had a kind of zero tolerance policy on any kind of self-loathing or pitying or anything like that. It's a record which I tried to imbue with as much a sense of gratitude and wonder and positivity as I could. But specifically, there's still a lot of melancholy elements to it. But I think that's I mean, my favorite works of art and my favorite artists are often artists who walk that line. I think that you're probably never going to hear me singing like these super bouncy songs, but I think it's specifically a sense of wonder from a place of, from like the bottom of the well.
There's a lot of love as well. A song like Thank You is a grateful, heartfelt ode. You know, has the line, I was slowly brought back to life by you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, there's actually pretty much the whole B-side of the record is a kind of ode to the feminine divine. This idea of a kind of transcendental feminine energy rather than any specific person. And lots of reoccurring situations where the narrator, that is me pretty much, is involved in some kind of divine rescue or divine provision or aid and a sense of renewal and rejuvenation. But they're elements that I associate personally with this feminine energy.
Which goes back to your PJ Harvey picture again as
exactly,
well. You know,
yeah,
that was your energy right there.
There's a lot of, yeah, there's lots of, majority of the people that play on the record were women as well. And I wanted to imbue it with as much of that, but whatever you want to call it.
Not that there's been too much machismo on Brightness Records up till now.
Yeah, I don't think it wasn't something that people were complaining about, but there's a sense of, I feel like I've got to be careful what kind of words I use, but because it's all pretty abstract, but there's certainly a sense of kind of worship in there, like a worship to some, a sense of gratitude, but not to any one particular, there's like religious elements there, but to very kind of personal ideas of the divine rather than ones that are well known to us all.
This Brightness album also reflects your traveller's spirit pretty well too. Bukhansan is named after the mountain near Seoul in South Korea, which you've been to and then wrote the song about.
Yeah.
So you've kind of travelled and learnt to write about that stuff too.
Yeah, well, I was saying to a friend earlier this week, talking about the landscapes that feature in the record, and I noticed pretty early on that when I was writing it, that pretty much all of the landscapes that I was imagining as I was writing, when I say landscapes, I mean that literally and figuratively, were foreign. And a lot of them were North American specifically, like Texas and the Northeast, where, like I said before, we ended up recording, was that kind of feeling that comes from those places. And like you said, Seoul, these are places where, I guess if you were to kind of step back and look at it objectively, they're places that I've attached a sense of wonder to, precisely because they're foreign, maybe. I mean, the experiences I've had, say, in the US when I was touring with my old band was obviously a pretty, you're on a bit of a high. And other experiences I've had there that aren't related to the band are similarly inspiring. And so you keep going back to this space that has those elements of inspiration.
I guess the record is a journey, literally and metaphorically, then, as well.
I actually did think about making it more conceptual, but I'm kind of glad I didn't.
The Alex Knight travel log, yeah. You know, 80 days around the world.
Well, this kind of Garden of Gethsemane moment of being at your lowest, the relationship between real spiritual struggle and tribulation and suffering, I guess, and transcendence and the relationship that exists between those specific things, and making this kind of narrative arc over the record. So it still does have an arc. And
you really overthought this record, didn't you?
I'm glad I did, because, yeah, I certainly don't. I don't ever want to be stumped when someone asks me about a song. I want to like know that I've put everything into it, and every line is, you know, it kind of bothers me when artists get asked like about things and they kind of shrug their shoulders. And I mean, that's obviously every person themselves, every artist themselves. But this is something I take very seriously, and it's important to me that each song and each line has a kind of potency.
There's also a lot of food on the Brightness album as well, because Bukhansan has one of the best lines of the year, which is just eat your ramen full. And even Midnight Mass says, I would kill for a cup of Russian Caravan. So this is the Brightness diet song as well.
You've caught me off guard there, because I hadn't actually even thought about that.
You should be marketing this album to foodies as well as travellers, you know?
Yeah, I'll contact the PR.
Maybe you could sell some Russian Caravan tea at your merch table from now on.
Well, I'm secretly sponsored by Twinings or whatever.
But even going back to the idea of the record as a journey, I mean, you are quite a journeyman. And before you were doing Brightness stuff, you went overseas with your early bands, a couple of them.
Yeah.
You've also done things like sail yachts around the world. So it's all part of a life journey for you, this stuff, isn't it?
I think it's all part of the ongoing restlessness that's defined my decisions since I was about 14. This kind of hunger, thirst, you know, whatever you want to put it. which leads me to want to get out of my comfort zone pretty quickly. And it seems to be a fairly safe rule, if something frightens you in a certain way, along with other elements, it usually means it's a good thing to do. Just for as long as you're able to do those things. I mean, there'll come a day where I'm not able to deliver yachts across the Atlantic. And
that's when you can just sit at home and make records, yeah, Alex. That's all you're going to need to worry about then.
I'd rather burn myself out. You know, use that restlessness to a good, put that to a good use.
It's fantastic to have the album out. We might have a listen to Old Crow right now on the show. You look after yourself out there in the big wide world then.
Thank you.
This is Brightness on Static, and thanks for the chat, Alex.
My pleasure. Fortune.